This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Cryer looking for some help. Double team comes. They feed to Tugler. Right back it goes to Cryer. His three blocked by Houck. Picked up on the other end by Richard. Feeding it to Houck. Runs to the rim. Shot good and a foul. Yuzan got him on the wrist as he took it up. Floated it over the front of the rim. Houck will go to the line for a chance at a three-point play and trying to bring Florida within one possession.
You had Kevin Kugler on the Westwood One NCAA Radio Network. Florida wins 65-63. And then Kelvin Sampson giving some credit to those Florida Gators and just how Houston, you know, they never played great in this game, Perloff. And welcome to the show, by the way. They never played great, but this was one of those types of games that they got used to playing.
Yeah.
These, you know, gritty, low-scoring, defense-first games. And the fact that Florida met them there, matched them, and down the stretch had more poise and executed better on the defensive end is why this is so stunning.
I think they played great defensively and on the glass, especially in the first half. So, you know, they played Houston basketball. They wanted to be a scrum. They wanted to be a fight. And you give them credit for that. I just think their offense at the end of the day, it just wasn't running smoothly. I give a lot of credit to Florida. Florida, in a way, at certain times this tournament, got defensive just like Houston. They have they have guys who are all over the ball, really aggressive on the outside. So I'm not sure. I lean in, you know, I said Duke choked. In this one, I'm going to give Florida some credit because it happened four times where they were able to shut down the leading team. You know, their defense when it came down to crunch time was unbelievably good.
Yeah, and in this game specifically, the last 130 basically of this game, a Yuzan miss, an LJ Cryer miss, and then a Tugler turnover, Cryer turnover, and two sharp turnovers, including a very controversial one as he's trying to get a last second shot off and he leaves his feet with the ball, pivot foot gone, comes back down. It would have been a travel. We all think it would have been a travel if he had touched the ball again. So he's just sort of like standing there trying to box out his guy from beyond 3-point. And the ball's just on the floor, and he's looking for a teammate, anything, a prayer, didn't happen, game over.
Yeah, I mean, Houston got terrible looks the last 10 minutes of the game. Just they did not, there was no easy baskets. They had a little bit of foul trouble, which killed them. That's when Walter Clayton got a little bit going, is when the Houston big men were on the bench with foul trouble. Everything went wrong. Feel bad for Kelvin Sampson. Think he'll be back anyway. But I, you know, I'm a little bit obsessed with this question. What were the Florida analytics that won this game? I don't totally understand.
Your guess
it just
is
felt
as
like
good as mine.
They won a battle, a dogfight. All the credit in the world to them. Those kids are unbelievably kids. Some of them are pretty old.
Walter Clayton Jr. like has a child.
Yeah, they're super tough.
Yeah,
a lot of credit. And I give Walter Clayton a lot of credit for this game actually, because he could have faded. 0 points in the first half. The superstar of the tournament didn't get down on himself, took the ball to the basket when it counted, and he made the closeout on the final play that caused the travel.
Yep, the defensive play there, the controversial one that we've been talking about all morning long, and you're welcome to weigh in at 888-710-4ISN. Walter Clayton Jr. becomes the is named MOP, Most Outstanding Player of the Final Four, and he is going to the NBA now. Lottery pick, not lottery pick, first round pick, we all believe. And, you know, I think we're asking just how are you going to remember this championship? Is it the Florida comebacks? Is that what's going to stick out in your mind? And how Florida didn't play their best game by any stretch last night, but still won the title? Or is this going to be known for the collapses, the Duke collapse, the Houston collapse at the end? And that's going to be more of what you take away from this tournament. I'm probably going to go collapses here, even though Florida played such good defense at the end of this game. I just think that we're going to remember this as Duke collapsing and Houston collapsing.
I would say in 15 years, we're going to call this the Walter Clayton tournament, just like we called it the Khalid Al-Amin tournament, the Shabazz Napier tournament, the Kemba Walker tournament. I think
Carmelo.
Yeah.
Like, well, singular people.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking actually of guards who have mixed NBA prospects.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Yeah. Carmelo, a little different, was a top five pick. Just guys who got hot at the right time.
Yep.
I think the collapses will fade a little bit, and then we'll remember him as the star, the breakout star.
Really? You don't think this is going to Cooper Flagg, even though they didn't win and lost in the Final Four, that this will be remembered as Flagg?
I don't remember. I don't remember. I guess it was in the Final Four. I don't remember what happened to Jason Tatum or Zion Williamson or any of those guys in the tournament. Like, how did Zion lose? I have no memory. We'll remember this because it was Final Four, but I don't think it'll be defining. He's got a lot of legacy to write in the NBA.
That is true. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. After these major moments happen in sports, we always want to make this about you. How did you watch it? How did you view it and see it? And is Florida-Houston going to be a memorable one for you at all? We'd love to hear from some Gator fans. I mean, if this was Gator, you know, Florida Ole Miss football, I feel like the phone lines would be full. I'm curious how, if they're just stunned.
Yeah.
And if you really think, you know, Todd Golden now is the head coach at 39 years old, analytics aside, Pearl, his genius aside, you know, where's his career go from here? You win a title, you're 39. We saw Brad Stevens didn't even win a title, but got back-to-back with Butler and then was off to the NBA. I wouldn't be surprised if Todd Golden does the same thing.
Really? But Brad Stevens had a limited ceiling at Butler. I'm not sure if Todd Golden strikes me as a college coach, just style-wise. Kind of like Danny Hurley. You can't do all that.
Hurley's way over the top.
Yeah, some of that energy. Well, Golden's a little over the top. I think some of that energy doesn't translate to the NBA. Todd Golden, he's at a big, big school. I mean, it's a football school. I think that's always going to be a bit of a challenge. But, and there, by the way, could be a very good football school in the next couple of years.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Why wouldn't he stay at Florida and try and win a few? Brad Stevens, I don't think he had anywhere to go at Butler. And he didn't want, whatever reason, didn't want to take the Indiana job.
Yeah, I was going to say, he could have gone to a bigger program, but the Boston Celtics come calling. I mean, you answer the call when Danny Ainge makes it at that time. I just think that for Golden, like, again, I thought that Florida, forgive me, I thought they had a lot of NIL cash. Like,
yeah,
apparently they do not.
Well, how'd they get Elijah Martin and the big guy?
Again, I don't think these guys were that high priced, and Martin took less, apparently. He was playing at FAU. You know, it's not Cooper Flagg. Like, they're not going to be in on those guys. They don't have enough money. And I didn't know that.
Well,
so I learned that yesterday.
Well, how did I start this tournament off? I said the key to winning in the college basketball tournament is not have superstar NBA guys, have old guys. It's the Jay Wright model. Yeah. I mean, that's, and you guys said Cooper Flagg is an exception, and you were mostly right.
We got pretty dang
close. Yeah. You were mostly right. I was very scared, but old.
He fronted one mid-range jump shot, or else we would have been in totally different waters.
Old and a little bit less talented, and the guys that stick around, or guys that are older, stick around in college basketball, is the formula. And you saw it last night. The strength on defense on both sides of the ball. I mean, those guys were physically impressive. Maybe not the most skilled final game I've ever seen.
No.
Walter Clayton is certainly skilled. But I feel like next year we're going to have the same kind of team is going to win. A bunch of 22-year-old kids.
888-710-4ISN if you want to weigh in. Chat is up and running. YouTube.com/InfinitySportsNet. Twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork. Of course, you miss any part of the show, hit the rewind function on the free-to-download Odyssey app. It's a great app. It's crystal clear. You can also catch the Maggie and Perloff podcast, which comes your way every single day. Yeah, EJ, you want to say something?
No, I just think that the thing about Florida is I'm wondering, can Golden do essentially more than Billy Donovan did, right? Donovan had those two titles, but then it kind of fell off quickly after that, and he had to kind of then say, all right, I got to find my next move. Like, is this something that's longstanding with him in terms of being the Florida head coach, and can he be a national champion consistently? Because you mentioned it yesterday, like, does NIL kind of take this chance out of it? Like,
right.
It's just teams are too cycling too much for anybody to do that. We saw Danny Hurley win twice, but no one else really has been close.
Yeah, I mean, what Perloff keeps talking about, the parity, right? It's just, I think we're in that era, even though UConn did just win back-to-back titles. I just think that the analytics thing and the genius, like, moniker with these young guys, I think is a catnip for the NBA. These owners, a lot of them, Silicon Valley, tech guys, you know, and I think that Brad Stevens was one of those guys. Mm-hmm. And I think that if John Shire had won, I think he would have also gotten some NBA attention.
And Mark Dagenaut, who's coach of the OKC Thunder, he's definitely in that.
He was a college coach?
No, I mean just analytics.
But I would argue
the NBA, they just love that.
But I would argue the opposite in a sense. No, I agree on the analytics.
Daryl Morey, your own GM.
I agree on the analytics part, totally. But generally, college guys don't leave. I mean, Roy Williams never left. Coach K never left. Danny Hurley famously didn't leave last year.
Well, we'll see.
You keep saying Brad Stevens. He's a bit of an anomaly in a sense. These big-time college coaches tend to stay.
I just think he's so young. Like, John Calipari was young and went to go coach the Nets and then decided to come back.
Right.
I think that he's so young, and now that he's won, I'm not saying you have nothing left to prove in college, but again, you talk about the parity. Are we going to have dynasties anymore? Probably not. And so do you say, all right, well, if I can make $10 million a year coaching, you know, the Hornets or whatever it's going to be, maybe that's worth it because I can always go back to college.
Yeah, I guess so. I you're probably right. But I feel like he's got a good thing going in college. Seems like he's cut out for college to me. Probably, you're probably right. He probably will go to the NBA and probably pretty soon. But then again, you go to the Hornets, it's hard. I mean, that's challenging job.
It's not a good job. Maybe there's a better job that opens up. I mean, could be EJ and Manny's Knicks that open up. I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean,
NBA coaches get fired all the time.
Wow. Did you hear that, guys? She just fired Tom Thibodeau.
I'm not the only one.
I mean, I'm not worried about that if that happens.
He also just signed an extension, but I digress.
Well, whatever. Yeah. Knicks can afford it.
Dolan, he's got the money. Yeah.
You know how many former coaches they're paying over there? I'm just saying,
hey,
there's a lot of
openings
that happen in the NBA, and he kind of seems to me like that it's irresistible a little. Like if you're a team that's at the bottom and you want a quick fix, like, oh, we'll just outsmart them.
Yeah, teams are always trying to find that next big thing for NBA coaches.
Totally.
Like John Beilein going to the Cavs. Like we I think we say, oh, nobody leaves, but guys leave. We just kind of forget the guys that leave because so many fail so badly. Mike Montgomery was an NBA head coach. I mean, we can go through the names of guys who went to the NBA and flopped.
Golden State, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, it was 1 year. I think it was one and done, right? Eric Musselman was an NBA head coach. Again,
wasn't,
we forget about
Rick
that too.
Pitino and John Calipari also?
Yeah, we mentioned Calipari, Pitino. Like, so guys go, and especially the younger guys too. Like, they want to take that opportunity. And Golden definitely seems to fit the mold for sure of a younger guy, again, who seems...
Fred Hoiberg.
Florida, I know they didn't look like last night, but they play a lot more of a modern style of basketball than most college teams.
Can I say one thing about the analyst? You're talking about the analyst guy. This isn't 2010. Every single team in every sport uses 1,000% analytics. Like
I said, it's catnip. I never said it's actually going to work.
Every team has a staff of 12 guys probably, and the NFL, multiply it by six. There's like 60 guys in the...
Well, so that's the thing, though. Yeah. It's like the analytics have become such a big part of sports that, again, if some guy has figured out a new thing...
Yeah, I mean, all I saw in the Wall Street Journal article was he said, play your guys when they have foul trouble because you can't, you know, you don't get any credit if they end the game without getting five fouls, which is kind of smart. I get it. It's very analytic. The points are just as important in the second quarter, and there are no quarters, but as they are in the fourth quarter. I like that, but... I don't know. I think Todd Golden, emotionally, when I saw that team, it wasn't anything analytic. It was just, wow, they are really bought into each other. Like, they, after the game, that was one of those championship teams. You could tell those guys, even though some of them just got there, were really close.
Well, I think the other part that, to me, it looks like he could make the jump to the NBA, and I think the NBA is going to come calling very soon. And I can't claim to say I've watched every Todd Golden press conference that's ever existed. But he's not edgy when it comes to these kinds of press conferences. He's never throwing his players under the bus. He's never making it about himself. It's about himself when they lose, and it's about them when they win. And I think that's a very NBA thing. like Danny Hurley will call out his players. You know, Gino Auriemma will call out his players on the women's side. There's some coaches that I think will, Rick Pitino will call out his players. I know Rick did coach in the NBA, but in a different era. Nowadays in the NBA, and you guys know this, you have to be so player friendly. Like, unless you're Greg Popovich and you're grandfathered in to some other type of way of doing it, you've got to be so player friendly. It's all about the psyche of your franchise players. Are they happy? You know, are they adjusted? And taking the temperature constantly of your team. The old way of coaching these basically almost billionaires, like, that's gone. And I think Todd Golden fits that modern sort of, it's all about the players all the time. And if we lose, it was on me. My bad.
I'll take your word for it. Is that really a trend in the NBA? Like, who are the winning coaches? Like,
I think Steve Kerr.
Kerr's a bit different. He comes from the Phil Jackson school. I think he's pretty tough.
And maybe he's kind of grandfathered in. Okay, I'll say Mark Daigneault from OKC.
Who?
Well, again, they're number one seed.
He might win coach a year, second year in a row.
I think Kenny Atkinson is like that.
Definitely. No, I agree.
Thibodeau will not actually throw guys under the bus publicly. Will not. Go to the opposite end where he's blatantly lying and sounds stupid because he doesn't call out his players.
I mean, I would call it, Ime Udoka is not that necessarily right. He's pretty tough.
I think Ime is like a outlier. He will say my team didn't do well, guys didn't do whatever, but most NBA coaches, I think, because they got to play with kid gloves with these
but
guys.
But does Mazzulla play with kid gloves? He's such a tough guy. Mazzulla doesn't know. Give these you guys anything. Are all kind of hardcore.
He's
everyone
only talking
just
about the town. Who knows? Mazzulla's on a totally different
airfield.
Yeah,
yeah, no, I don't know if he's kid gloves. I actually have no idea if he's kid gloves. He sure seems like the toughest coach. He is as tough as nails, but not
well
necessarily towards his own team.
We didn't play
so
well
you could
today,
be right.
Just,
but here's the thing about Ime Udoka. Think about this. They were basically writing his exit out of Boston until they had an all-time turnaround, like midway through the season of his first year. They were calling for him to be fired.
Oh, yeah, well, they're about to get swept against Miami. They almost want to fire him then, too.
So,
yeah,
anyway,
I mean, but he wrote his own exit out.
Well,
but we all know why.
Yeah, you can't.
I mean, there's no doubt
wife.
That guy is an outstanding coach. I mean, I think.
You can't?
He's a. I don't think it's so clear that there are some old school hardcore guys. I mean, Mazzulla, again, he's probably very nice to his players, but do not mess with that guy. He looks like he's ready to fight at all times.
This goes back to whether Todd Golden is going to be a candidate of someone who jumps to the NBA.
Golden reminds me a little of Mazzulla, a young guy who's super intense. Like, Golden looks like he's like got high blood pressure at 39. He drinks a lot of coffee.
I mean, if that's the only vice you have, I mean, you're probably getting through life pretty well.
Yeah.
To be honest. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Okay, you're welcome to weigh in. What are you going to remember from this tournament? Is it the Florida comebacks, Houston collapse, maybe a Duke collapse is what still will stick out in your mind? We have lots of football to get to. I keep saying it. Let's do it. Not only a surprise invite to the draft, but also they've set the line. The over-under on where Shedeur Sanders will be drafted. And I was surprised by this number. So we'll get to that next as well. It's M&P, don't move.
No.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam, just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. All right, we've been breaking down the national title game. There's been a lot of buzz and news around the NFL draft. To me, Maggie, this is what I would call confusing time. We're getting, I don't know if people are lying or we're getting mixed messages, but it's certainly not an easy draft. Last year, in comparison, felt easy. We knew it was going to be Caleb Williams 1, probably Jaden Daniels 2, Drake May 3. Mm-hmm. Now we have number 1 is Cam Ward with the Tennessee Titans, and then it's kind of chaos.
Yeah, I mean, the draft really starts with the Browns, and you know, I'm going to hold steady that I've always thought it's Shedeur. I know there's been a lot of reporting that says now it's Travis Hunter, but I don't know. Just Shedeur makes so much sense to me there because they never solve the quarterback thing. And I guess you're going to wait around for Kirk Cousins and maybe that's the plan. And he showed up at a Chipotle there, but again, does not solve your long-term problem. And Deshaun Watson is going to be gone. He's never going to suit up for the Browns ever again.
Yep.
And Kenny Pickett is not a thing. He's a backup. So it's just this gaping hole. And here comes Shedeur Sanders, who, you know, wants the responsibility of turning around a bad team, is not going to shy away from that. You know, every chance, I don't know if he can do it, but every chance he'll tell you, Jackson State wasn't winning, Colorado wasn't winning, and we turned those teams around. Like, again, I don't know if he can if he can cash that check, but I know he's not going to shy away from it. It just makes a lot of sense. But anyway, sorry.
Yeah, but basically you're signing a version. Who's the player comp for Shedeur Sanders?
Kirk Cousins. Might as well take the younger version.
But you're going to draft a Kirk Cousins and pass on the next Deion Sanders. That's the thing. I think you have to weigh Shedeur. I think we all agree, or not everybody, but he's a good quarterback where people worry that the ceiling is not super high. He's not going to be Mahomes. He's going to be closer to the 10th best quarterback, 8th, 9th, which is amazing, which will get you a lot of yards. But I think you see Travis Hunter, as I said before, and I think our boss laughed at me for this, Travis Hunter's a Hall of Famer. You could just see, like, he is a generational NFL player.
Yeah, this our boss did laugh at you about that.
This dude is crazy. I mean, I actually, Abdul Carter, I also think is a generational player, but Travis Hunter, passing on him, when you don't, you're not quite ready to win with Shedeur, I get it from Cleveland's standpoint. Like, what's the big point? Are they going to win a title with Shedeur and the team around him? I think they might say, well, let's build the team around him and then put the quarterback in when we're ready to win. That's a philosophy as well.
Shut up, Dave.
It is a philosophy. It wasn't Dave. This was Ryan, the big boss.
By the way, I've had way hotter takes than Travis Hunter's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, that was actually one of your more mild ones.
Travis Hunter is ridiculous, right? Like, is there anybody who doesn't love that? Even a press conference with him is electric.
No, I know.
He's unbelievable.
Also, I don't think that Ryan's still not used to your full Perloff-ness. Yeah, like everything that comes with you, the bandwagoning and all that stuff. He's a little more like old school kind of sports fan. But anyway.
I'm just different.
Dave Marinick already, he's used to your ways.
But Dave Marinick just listens for the adult humor. He doesn't care about the draft takes. He's just waiting for us to say, Instagram
Hooters
story.
Hooters filed for bankruptcy. Yeah, we'll get to that later.
No. He wants to fire out.
They want to make it more family friendly now. Which I don't know how they're going to do that. But
I finally turned 21 and now they want to be family friendly? This sucks.
Manny, it's all about just your life careening towards a crevasse.
Yeah, Dave, our other boss, I think is more interested. If we're going to do the Instagram story of the guy whose pants fell down on the golf course, Dave's ears are like, let's do it. Let's go.
Honestly, bad job out of us. We didn't do it yesterday. We'll get to it. But meanwhile, the Shedeur of it all. So this is not a disrespect to Travis Hunter, who is a better prospect than Shedeur and Abdul Carter and all that. I'm just looking at the NFL today. And I'm seeing Myles Garrett, who is a generational, who is a Hall of Famer. And Myles Garrett is out there busting his butt, and they're winning three games. Yeah, and they're winning one playoff game. And they're not a factor at all. The Browns still are not a thing, even though, as you rightly point out, this is the most successful stint of Browns football in the last 25 years.
Well, Myles Garrett's had two double-digit win seasons with no quarterback. That's unbelievable. TJ Watt, same exact thing. And Nick Bosa, by the way, is arguably led the Niners. He's been their most important player.
Yeah, and Brock Purdy has gotten the 49ers twice as far. Like, you don't to have...
Jimmy G got to the fourth quarter in the lead with Nick Bosa.
No, I'm just saying, like, just because you don't have the best quarterback doesn't mean it's still not important. Like, Jimmy G, you're making my point, or a Brock Purdy, or even your Jalen Hurts, who you're still not willing to say is a top five quarterback. Like, you still have to have that guy. It's
but
still
none of those guys,
important.
None of those guys are going to the Super Bowl without a Nick Bosa. That's just not happening.
That may be so, but without a competent quarterback, Nick Bosa would not be Nick Bosa.
No, he's not, right. But I think you're looking at the number two overall pick, which is where Nick Bosa went. Myles Garrett went number one. TJ Watt somehow fell to 30. But I think you could make an argument. Why are we taking Kirk Cousins here? That's what I think teams are saying at the end. Yes, we know, at least this is how I view it. Shedeur can obviously play. I think some of these people who come out on the internet and say he's a third round talent, I'm not quite sure. He was very successful at Colorado.
Yeah,
fan, he was balling out. So
he's got the traits. I have no problem with that.
You know what I think? I think it's the Deion of it all. I think the most important clip from his pro day was Deion chewing out a Broncos scout. He's going to Bigfoot. I mean, he's more famous than any coach that Shedeur is going to play for.
Okay, but here's the thing about that. Deion could also be like that with Travis Hunter. So like an adopted son. He could
Travis
say the
doesn't
same
have the same
thing.
Last name. And he's not a quarterback. Quarterback's different. The quarterback's parents are a big deal.
The quarterback's parents.
Yeah, Donovan McNabb's mom was a factor in the Eagles.
All right, you're scarred because that happened in Philadelphia. But here's the thing. Yeah. Deion, if Travis Hunter now goes to Cleveland... And if something weird happens in Cleveland, which, by the way, I'd put my money on because weird stuff happens there, Deion's definitely going to weigh in. You want to know why? Because he's going to be asked about it, and he's going to be honest. So,
but you know it's
different. You're still inviting Deion in, the wolf into the hen house, if that's the way you want to describe Deion.
But you think it's the same with Travis Hunter, who's a cornerback wide receiver, than when Shador's playing quarterback for the New York Giants? You'd think it's totally different. Travis Hunter, at the end of the day, has a different name than Shador.
So
it's Hunter, not Sanders.
Here's the other part about the interesting news kind of element of this whole thing. These betting sites put lines on where a guy's going to be drafted, like the over-under, and you can bet under or over on it. Shador's is set at 8.5.
Right.
I'm going to go under on that. I still think that the Cleveland Browns and the Giants are still in play. I think EJ's Jets are in play. Nobody's talking about that. And I think the Raiders are still in play.
I'm going to hug him.
Plenty of teams under that 8.5 that I think are in play for Shador. I think all this other stuff is smokescreen. What do you think?
Yeah, you're really fading Schefter because he's very specifically said all those things you just said are not going to happen. But I think that it's really Schefter drove this line. I think it's the Saints at 9. I do not love this bet because if the Saints want him at 9, there's going to be a bit of competition. They might have to trade up, like the Vikings had to trade up a spot to get J.J. McCarthy. Mm. I think teams are going to mess around with them and say, hey, if you really want him, you know, because the Raiders.
Who do you think is going to be? Who's below 9?
I think the Saints and the Steelers are teams to watch. If Shador starts to fall, the Steelers,
okay,
obviously.
But if he gets to Carolina at 8, let's say he gets past the Jets, or let's say, and New Orleans is on the clock.
Well, no. If he
who's the other team that wants him this badly?
I think this. If he falls past the Raiders, I think the Raiders and the Jets both would love to trade down. I think the Jets would particularly love to trade down. And Omar Khan and Steelers calls and says, I'll give you a
so
good
the
draft pick. No, I said the Steelers. Yeah, okay. The Steelers, I think, are definitely in play. I think the Saints are in play. I think those are my two favorites. Then Schefter named some other teams. But if the Steelers see Shador falling, they have to make a move here.
Okay, let's let you know as far as, okay, because that's what I want to know. Who are the teams who are going to be trying to trade and jump the Saints to try to get Shador? You mentioned
the Saints themselves might have to jump the Saints.
Okay, or the Saints might have to trade up. Here is Schefter yesterday on the Pat McAfee show of some outside-the-box candidates who could be looking to take Shador Sanders.
Expected, non-talked-about scenarios. Miami has so much money tied up in Tua that after this year, there's a way out of that contract with the health questions. Like, maybe, again, I'm not telling you they're doing it. We're talking and imagining. I don't think it's likely, but I'm not completely dismissing it. I don't think Arizona's likely, but there have been questions about Kyler Murray. There have been questions about the owner not being a huge fan.
Yeah, clean up on aisle 7 for that one. Man, not that we probably could have guessed that ownership is not a huge fan of Kyler Murray, considering they put a homework clause in his contract or tried to and then had to walk it back.
Exclamation point.
But now you gotta clean that up. There's more from Schefter. Let's hear it.
Los Angeles Rams, Matthew Stafford. Again, this is, to me, going to be the great question of round, where does Shador Sanders go? Because it doesn't look like 2 or 3. So is he going 9 to New Orleans, 21 to Pittsburgh? Is he going to the Browns or Giants who trade back up? Or is there a wild card scenario out there that we don't see, that we haven't talked about, that we're missing the way that many people missed last year, Michael Penix and the Atlanta Falcons?
Okay, so that was Schefter yesterday on the Pat McAfee show. So just to put a little bit of numbers on this, Miami is
my
picking
dog
13, Arizona's picking 16, and the Rams are picking 26.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. Does anyone think that it's going well in Arizona? I mean, that is clearly, that's a franchise that needs a hard reset. And I mean, I like Kyler Murray as a quarterback, but that is not the future. They feel one of the most non-threatening teams in the NFL. So that makes a lot of sense. Miami, I love that too, because if they can get a bargain quarterback to have behind Tua, also because Tua is injury prone.
Right.
So you have Shador sitting back there. That makes a ton of sense. And we'll see if they keep Tyreek Hill. I love that one. The Rams have been linked to Shador for a while. Everyone's been saying, but the Rams have to get up so high in the draft, that might be tough.
Just took a little look at Tua's contract and what Adam Schefter is talking about. So this would be a post-June 1 trade next year, and then the dead cap hit goes down to like $8 million or something like that. So they did, the Miami did protect themselves, even though they gave Tua a boatload of money.
But they'd love to have Shador as a backup next year, too. They need a backup. Can I just read you real quick?
They have Zach Wilson.
And I'm a Zach Wilson backer. They Shador could beat Zach Wilson on that depth chart.
Okay, I think so.
So the front runners are Saints. These are the odds from DraftKings. Plus 300. The next are the Giants, then the Browns, then the Steelers, then there's a three-way tie at 10-1, the Raiders, the Rams, and the Jets. So it's interesting to me the Rams are that high because they draft in the 20s. But I was wondering, Kellen Moore and the Saints, are we sure that they want him? Is that a Kellen Moore kind of quarterback? Probably.
Yeah.
But that's a team that kind of needs to build a team around. Like, who do they have? Who's Shador throwing to there?
Well, they'd have another year to get their, you know, ducks in a row because Derek Carr would start this season.
Yeah, so Shador at 23 is just going to sit back there.
Yeah.
I just think that's a team, like all these teams, they need players. Like, they can't exactly, they're going to draft Shador and have him sit on the bench and look at their roster. They have, their defense is great, but they're getting old, and their skill position players are bad. I mean, Kamara is getting old. Chris Olave, I don't think he has much of an NFL future because of his concussions, and then he's on the trading block. I'm not sure any of these are perfect fits. So there is a fall scenario. There's definitely, I saw Cleveland Radio was debating, do we take him with the 33rd pick yesterday?
Wow.
34th pick. So there's a scenario that he falls. I doubt it, but I think 8.5 is a perfect set because he definitely goes 9 to the Saints, probably. But does someone trade up? Someone traded up for McCarthy last year. I would not take this bet, but I'm willing to bet you do a show bet that he goes past 3.
No. 8.5. It's either under 8.5.
Well, you just said you still think the Browns and the Giants are in play.
Yeah, but I want a little cushion.
Well, you
if
can't
you and I are going to do a show bet, then we do it off the line, the Vegas set.
Well, I'm not betting that bet because I think that somebody could trade up. Well, I would like to. Actually, I would take that bet on, I would do that bet. I'm not allowed to bet on that in New York. Like, that's a pretty high number. These quarterbacks always go high.
That's what I'm saying. So I would, if you want a show bet, but I don't think I'll take the under 8.5.
But the real debate, I think, is does he go 2 or 3? Do you think he does?
I mean, I still do, but if I'm going to show bet you and I'm going to end up eating tuna jello or, you know, my face in some pie, then I want a couple extra, I want a little extra cushion. You can think about it.
Last time,
I don't want to do it. I'm actually going to put money on under 8.5.
Last time anyone made a draft bet with Perloff, one guy ended up with a torn patellar tendon, just let you know.
What do you mean?
I made a draft bet and I can't pay off the bet because I tore my patellar tendon.
Oh.
Oh, you had to run gassers.
Yeah.
No. But that's not, you didn't tour your patellar tendon.
Put dirt on it, man.
You weren't paying off a bet when you hurt yourself. You're doing charity work.
No, I'm just saying that, like, that was that's associated with the bet because I can't physically do it now.
It can never be paid off.
Yes. I'm just letting Maggie know that this is what's on the table, potentially. You may not actually have to do the bet, but maybe something else terrible will happen to you.
Maybe Bogus should just pay off the bet.
It's by association. Bogus is here with all the latest headlines. What's up?
Guys, Kelvin Sampson, the head coach. Houston, the program, still don't have a national title.
5 seconds to Sharp. Top of the key. Lost the dribble. He's got to pick it up. It's scooped up by Condon. Condon secures it. And Florida found a way. From 12 down to the school's third national championship in men's basketball.
Kevin Kugler on the Westwood One NCAA radio network. Florida left standing last night in San Antonio despite Samson's Cougars building a 42-30 second half lead. In fact, Houston led for almost 39 minutes last night, but they did not win.
I love these kids. I love this staff. I love this program. And this one hurts. This one stings.
Emmanuel Sharp's giveaway with 4 seconds left was their third turnover of the final minute. The Cougars didn't score for the final 2 minutes, losing a 65-63 heartbreaker. On the flip side, the Gators, as you heard, the Gators win their third straight despite a sizable second-half deficit. Walter Clayton Jr. did not score in the first half, but finished with 11 points plus 5 boards, 7 assists to be named Final Four Most Outstanding Player.
Man, we've been saying it all year, man. Our motto is we all can go, man. We got a team full of guys that could go. It ain't just about me. We got multiple guys on this go that could go get a bucket and do anything. So my team held me down until I was able to put the ball in the basket. Shout out to them boys.
Clayton and Sampson were speaking on CBS postgame. We did not get a final approval yesterday for the House settlement that would lead to schools directly paying players. Federal court judge Claudia Wilkin heard hours of arguments in Oakland, but did not issue a ruling from the bench. That could happen in the coming weeks after official responses from both sides.
Wow, that's so weird. I mean, this has gone so smoothly, all this legal proceedings. I'm sure that's going to work itself out. Just great.
That was the most annoying thing of the day yesterday.
You should have expected that. There's no way. First of all, whatever ruling happens is going to get overruled in a month anyway.
The reporters kept saying that we should have a ruling by the end of this session at 8 p.m. yesterday. Eastern, and then nothing happened. It's ridiculous.
Although she's leaning. They said she's leaning.
Yeah, she's leaning to accepting. But, like, she kept couching, saying, listen, like, this is not a lawsuit. This is a settlement. So, kind of suggesting that, hey, if you have an issue.
But that settlement will then get challenged legally. I think we're in the first inning of this whole battle.
And Livy Dunn kind of came out and objected to this settlement, saying this is not close.
I saw Chris Jenkins sued yesterday, too. Yeah, you know, before Villanova star, like this could be a hard one.
Do you guys remember what Claudia Wilkins is famous from?
No,
another very famous.
Not a clue.
Is that Tom Brady?
Case.
Is it Claret? Maurice Claret?
NCAA oh, that's Sotomayor. Versus that's a Supreme Court judge. NCAA versus and the O'Bannon versus NCAA.
Oh, she was that.
She ruled against the NCAA in the O'Bannon rule, which is why we are where we are. That was one of the huge dominoes that
ruined my life for a decade.
Yeah, EJ has some gaming to catch up on.
Take it up with Judge Wilkins.
So they'll do this settlement for $2.8 billion, but then there's going to be a whole new set of lawsuits. So they're
Jenkins is saying that he could have made more, right? Is that what Livy Dunn is basically saying?
Yeah, Livy's saying that as well.
But Jenkins' lawsuit is outside of this.
Yes.
Livy Dunn just filed paperwork as like a witness yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay.
They think they could have made more money, that the amount that's going to be doled out in the settlement is not fair compensation for what they've done in their college careers.
Yeah, I just think that I don't think anything is going to be, even with this ruling, I don't think anything is going to be settled. Just the way how fast does college sports change?
But I mean, NIL kind of just came and then it's just been here. So I don't know. Like, that came fast.
Well, now it's
In
a sense, it's going away.
Well, no, this won't
go away with this.
Yeah,
that's why
they're
reading.
The current collective system is going to go. I mean, it's going to be very, very different. Revenue sharing and what they do now in NIL is completely a different system.
Yeah, well, it's going to be the athletic department has $20 million or so to dole out however they see fit, whether it's football, basketball, women's basketball, whatever you want to give to. And then on top of it, you can also do name, image, and likeness. You can still do, you know, Sam Dell Auto and whatever, but
You won't have Ohio State, a $20 million collective. That is not going to exist in the same form. They're going to have to change that.
Why?
I don't know. Yeah, why is that?
Because a lot of that money is, there's just not,
it's advertiser money.
It's not going to all,
boosters, advertisers, whatever you want to call
it. Yeah, no, but the NIL, the collective system is definitely going to change because all that money is going to be coming out of this. You're not going to have, Ohio State, as I understand it, is not going to have $20 million in revenue share and then the $20 million collective doling out to players. Like, it's going to be different, the cap. I just don't think the collectives are going to be as big.
Why wouldn't you have a collective and still do this, is my point, though. Because, like, to me, that would be cutting your nose off to spite your face.
I think the collectives are going to pull back.
I think that would be dumb. But, yeah, I mean, they could. I'm just saying, if I'm Ohio State and I know I'm going to get this $20 million and I still have the most money, why would I think, okay, well, now we just let the revenue handle it when you still have the money to spend, right? Like,
you still have the rich alumni. You still have
right. Like,
the boosters,
why would you not use
you
that as an advantage?
Interest.
Like, why would Oklahoma State not still use their very rich donors?
I just read the collectives are going to do their whole business differently because all the money's going through the school now, like officially going through the school. None of it, like the athletic departments, don't pay anybody anything right now, right?
Yes.
So I just think the collectives change their organizational system. You guys could be right, but I definitely read that.
Yeah, no, you could be right. I'm thinking just logically, if I was Ohio State, I would tell all my donors, hey, like,
keep it coming.
Cause,
yeah,
like, we'll have an advantage. You know, that was the thing.
But like the Ohio State collective just will function differently because of the school's involvement now.
Yeah, I think like things will go through the school, like all these things. And I believe that there will be different tax implications for people giving money in this scenario than there is right now. Because I've heard people say that they think people who are not giving money might give money more in this new system because they then benefit more from it on the back end through like write-offs, deductions, whatever.
Man. Now you're losing us.
Yeah. By the way, you're going to have a massive staff to figure all this out at the school.
Right.
That's what the GMs are for.
Yeah, I know. They're going to have like 20 people underneath them to do cap stuff. It's crazy.
Our pal Jim Nagy, we should ask him, how much has his life changed now with this, if this settlement goes through? Because he's now the general manager of, where's
Oklahoma.
Jim? Oklahoma.
Yeah. And my good buddy Patrick Stewart, Nebraska, getting a big shine up in an Albert Breer column yesterday, last week. It is a whole new game. But it's not just the GM. I'm telling you, you're going to need 100 people to manage that. You guys ever tried to do anything at a college? Like, just to get a new meal plan, you have to talk to four different people.
The registrar was made out of hell.
Right?
Oh, my gosh.
That was the first panic attack I ever had was... right before I graduated, thinking I didn't have enough credits.
Ugh.
And it was a legit, straight up panic attack.
I have that dream still.
You actually owe us $3,000. So if you want to graduate, you pay us now.
Yeah. Or just like, hey, that whole thing you thought you were doing, psych, no.
Yay, education in the United States.
Pogish, thank you so much. Lots to do, including we've got some Packers news for you that we want to get to. We're going to do it next. It's M&P.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Welcome back, Maggie Gray and Japroloff. We get back to the national championship game in just a moment, but Proloff, I know this one is near and dear to you. It looks like the Packers are very confident, optimistic is the term that's being used, that the tush push is going to be banned. Now, we don't have to go back through the tush push stuff. I know we did that to death with the owners' meetings. But here's a question.
Barely did it, by the way, for the record. I will listen to the show.
Yeah, that's your perspective. We talked about it every single day. But here's that's neither here nor there. Does this make the Packers look bad?
You are so anti-Eagles that you are making the tush push a Packers story? Is that what's happening right here? This is an Eagles story. This is not a Packers story.
Well, who was the team that's first said to ban it?
Everybody. It was the Packers took the front line, but everybody hates the tush push. This is an Eagles story. I'm just sorry. I'm going to have to call you out on this right here. To make this a Packers story is ridiculous.
I don't get that at all.
Why is this a Packer? Who cares? The whole league wants a tush push gone. Why are you calling out the Packers?
This isn't the world against the Eagles as much as you want to make it about
that.
How
is this not the world against the Eagles?
Bro, because my team runs it the second most times, and I don't care.
You guys don't even run it the right way.
Well, whatever. They're still running it.
You run a totally different play. That's why it doesn't work.
About you. I'm making it about the Packers, okay? You got to see outside yourself for a second. I understand that the Eagles are the reigning champs. You'd be able to win even if Jalen Hurts can just normally quarterback sneak. Is that what you want to hear?
I'm just saying, you can't call it the Packers here. The Packers are just the messenger. Everybody wants it gone. There's nothing to do with the Packers here. This is because you need 24 owners. I understand that the Packers have their name on the rule, but it's nothing. It's not a Packers thing.
Okay, hold on.
They're just being the messenger for the rest of the league.
If, as you say, everyone wants it gone, which you're really talking about Roger Goodell.
24 out of 32 owners will probably want it gone, yes.
No, if everyone wanted it gone, it'd be gone.
They just voted on it. Yes, and it's going to be gone in a month.
They just tabled the vote, rather.
Right, it's
going
to be gone in a month.
Right. Okay, but here's the thing. If it was such a slam dunk easy thing that everyone wanted it gone, why didn't it just get voted on a week ago when everyone was together?
Not everyone wants it gone. 24 out of 32 are going to want it gone. That's as close to everyone as you get in the NFL. That's a large
majority. But not yet. Like, not now.
It's going to happen.
Okay, but here's the thing. The Packers did attach themselves to it.
Yeah.
And so it is the Packers top of line. And yeah, Sean McDermott came out and said he thinks it's unsafe, and I'm sure other people don't like it. But the Packers have it attached to them. So does it look weak from the Packers? It'd be different if it was an AFC team, to be honest, because the Packers are the ones who just lost to the Philadelphia Eagles in the playoffs, right? Like, it's interesting to me because the Packers, I think, we hold in very high regard. I wanted to make this a Packers thing. Now we can't even do that because you derailed it to make it about your dumb Eagles.
No,
because it's about the Packers, and is this befitting of an organization that has the great history of the Packers, that, you know, is smart like the Packers. You know, we associate the Packers, I think, with doing things the right way. And they're the ones, whether you want to believe it or not, who put their names on this. They're the ones who leaked it to Diana Rossini. It was the Packers, and they owned it.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think anyone's going to connect this to the Packers. I mean, they're not going to look bad. When this rule gets the ban goes in May, there's not going to be a Packers logo on the TV. It's going to be an Eagles logo. It's not going to be Jordan Love. It's going to be Jason Kelsey. No one's going to remember the Packers' involvement in this. Nobody knows which teams put the rules forth. Generally,
the
Packers have to go to Philly for a playoff game next year. You don't think there's going to be more animosity?
Only show that would have a Packers logo anywhere near this story.
You don't think Eagles fans would remember or care about this?
No.
They're
mad at everybody.
The Eagles fans are so vindictive. I don't agree with that.
You know, here's the thing. I think this actually is coming out of fear. You say it's coming from a place of strength, like, oh, the whole league wants to stop us. I think Eagle fans are secretly worried about what would happen if the tush push gets banned. And I'm telling you, your team's going to be fine, but I don't think you believe it.
You're exactly wrong. I wanted to get banned because that's the bulletin board material. We need to win another championship.
That's what you'll say, but that's the thing about Philadelphia. Talk tough, but I think there's fear there.
By the way, it's McVay. Get out of here. The Eagles, you just said it. They're going to get 90% of their sneaks anyway. What's the difference? Well, this is great.
A little scared. A little bit scared. I think so.